Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
So far, so good. People can understand my accent. I'm very pleased. The first thing that I'd like to do, if I may, is just to thank Dean Michael for the great privilege of being able to preach this morning here at Holy Cross Cathedral. It's a great honour, and as someone who's been the minister of different churches, you always guard the pulpit, and so to allow anyone to come in to preach, I know is a tremendous privilege, and I feel it this morning, so thank you. And it's wonderful to be here at Holy Cross Cathedral. I've had this wonderful joy of being amongst brothers and sisters in Christ over these last few days, and I've been so encouraged in so many different ways, and this church building is one of them. You guys have gone through very difficult times over the last 15, 20 years. You're about 10 to 15 years further ahead than we are in New Zealand. So we're further behind. So to see buildings like this that have been built, to see the clergy that I've had the privilege of being alongside over these last few days, to see gospel ministry of Jesus flourishing, just gives so much confidence and joy to my heart, because that's what I look forward to the Lord doing in and through us in New Zealand in the next few years. And you've been able to manage gospel generosity even during difficult times. In difficult times, it's normally when you're a little more selfish and you just think about yourself, but none of you seem to have done that here. I'd love to know what water you drink to be able to keep that gospel spirit. I think of this church and the way you didn't hold on to a previous rector, but allowed him to stand for bishop to serve greater gospel glory within the diocese. And then this diocese then allowed him to stand as the archbishop, which is a loss for the diocese, but a gain for the province. And then this province allowed the archbishop to not just serve this province, but to become the chair of the GAFCON primates, and he's then been a blessing to the rest of us around the world. I stand before you this morning as someone who's had Archbishop Foley come over to New Zealand a couple of times, and at times when we really needed encouragement and help and support, he provided it. And he only provided it because you allowed him to do that out of gospel generosity. And so I'm so thankful for all that you've been able to do through this very difficult period for you, and you've in turn blessed us, and so it's a great privilege to be amongst you this morning. Now I'm going to be preaching from Psalm 13, so I wonder if I could invite you to please take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 13. It's a very short psalm, only 6 verses, but it packs a lot into it. So Psalm 13, a psalm of David. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. My enemy will say, I've overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. The word of the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the great joy and privilege of being here this morning as brothers and sisters in Christ. And we ask that by your Spirit, you might speak to us through this psalm. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Christians have always loved the Psalms, because as you go through the ups and downs of life, and sometimes you think, what's wrong with me? There must be something wrong with me because I'm struggling, and yet I know the Lord, and so why am I struggling? I must be different from everyone else. And then you read the Psalms and you're reminded you're not alone, that there are always the people of God who've struggled in different ways. Charles Spurgeon was a Baptist minister in England in the 19th century. He was known as the Prince of Preachers. And if you want a nickname, that's a pretty good one, isn't it? The Prince of Preachers. But what's not always known about Charles Spurgeon is that from the age of 24 onwards, he struggled with a debilitating depression. He described it in the following words, quote, "My spirits were sunken so low, I could weep by the hour like a child, and yet I knew not what I wept for." He just had this wrestling with depression for much of his life. The reality in this world of sorrow, of sadness, of brokenness, of despair is a common one. It is for all people. regardless of age, regardless of gender, regardless of race, and regardless of religion. And Christians are not exempt, because life in this fallen world is tough. And it's sometimes even more difficult for Christians, because as Christians, we know we have the joy of the Lord. And so when we struggle, we think, well, there must be something wrong with me. Maybe my faith is not strong enough, or maybe, perhaps even worse, God doesn't love me. And then we think, well, we start to look inward and worry. Well, today we're looking at Psalm 13, and the author is a surprise. Before verse 1, have a look at in your scriptures there, we see that the author of this psalm is King David. And we know a lot about David. David is repeatedly described in the scriptures as having a heart fully devoted to God. David was God's choice of king. He was the forerunner of the Christ, God's special, unique, promised king. God made David incredible promises and blessed him amazingly. And yet this special man of God struggled in his life. Look at the phrase that he says in the first two verses. He says a four-word phrase, which he then repeats three more times in the first two verses. Here's the phrase, "How long, O Lord? How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? How long, O Lord?" And I know that as I say that, every one of you will have felt that at some stage in your Christian life. If you haven't, then congratulations, you're a brand new Christian. It's lovely to have you here. But you will go through this at some stage. Something in life will cause this. Now, Psalm 13 doesn't give many clues what David was facing. I think verse 2 and verse 4 suggest he's facing physical enemies. And we know that David had enemy soldiers out to get him at different times. But we don't need to know the specifics, really, because we all understand the sentiment. We get the feeling here. And this affects all of us, from God's king right through to you and I. Well, what can we learn from David then in this psalm? The verse is split up very neatly into three sections of two verses. So in verse 1 and 2 that I've read out a couple of times, we see the pain of David. Then in verses 3 to 4, we see the prayer of David. And then in verse 5 and 6, we see the praise to God of David. So pain, prayer, and praise. And I'd like to look at the psalm in those three sections. So verse 1 to 2, this is where we see the pain. And my point here, if you take notes, is Christians will encounter despair in this life. Have a look again. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Packs a lot into those two verses. It's clear here, David's struggling in three different areas that he expresses in these two verses. Firstly, he's struggling spiritually. Do you see what he says in verse 1? How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long, O Lord, will you hide your face from me? Do you see what David's saying here? David's despairing because he feels distant from God. You'd never have thought that God's chosen king would feel distant from God, but David did. We think that only happens to us. We think we're the only ones that sometimes feel like God is distant, even absent. And then we feel worse because we think, well, there must be something wrong with me. No, David felt this. He expresses it here. Will you forget me forever? He feels forgotten by God. How long will you hide your face from me? Very powerful words from David. But he's not just suffering spiritually. He's suffering personally in himself. Verse 2, how long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? Here's his personal turmoil. Again, the language is so potent and relatable, isn't it? You can tell this is the word of God because it speaks to our souls. How long must I wrestle with my thoughts? Thoughts are so hard to control. How many nights have you had when you can't switch your brain off? It just keeps speaking lies sometimes, or nonsense. Or sometimes it just goes off into inappropriate ways. Sometimes we replay things again and again. We might not be able to forget certain words said to us or things that we've seen. Thoughts are so hard. And that's what David says, how long must I wrestle with my thoughts? But it's not just his thoughts. He also says the sorrow in his heart. Here's the pain and the hurt that we go through in life. And I think sometimes the wrestling of the thoughts and the sorrow in the heart go together. They make each other worse. The sorrows in our heart cause us wrestling in our mind, and it just feeds into itself, and it's over and over again. That's David in despair because of this. So David is suffering despair spiritually, thinking God's distant, and personally, in and of himself. Thirdly, he despairs in relation to his enemies, end of verse 2. How long will my enemy triumph over me? Now, David had literal enemies, opposing armies out to get him. Most of us don't have literal enemies, soldiers out to get us. And so we can think, well, at least I don't have to go through this one, David. But I think the principle here that he's saying is, when he sees other people, he feels worse about his own situation. It's like Psalm 73. If you remember Psalm 73, the psalmist says that when he looks out on people that are not Christians, and he sees them succeeding in life, he sees them marrying, and that he wishes he'd been married, or he sees them having children, or succeeding financially, and then he looks at his own life and he's struggling and he's tried to be faithful. He says, my foot nearly slipped. And this is often the experience in life. So can you feel David's despair? He's saying, when I look out at others who don't seem to be honoring you, they're doing well, but my life is difficult, and he feels even worse. And so again, can you feel David's despair in all of this? How long, O Lord, will I feel like you've left me by myself? How long will I struggle personally? How long will it cause me difficulty when I look out? The whole breadth of David's life is here. His relationship with God, his view of himself, and his perception of others, all causing him deep despair. Does it ring any bells? Of course it does. All of us will go through this kind of thing at some stage in life. It may come from a number of different areas, it will be different factors, but it will lead to, how long, O Lord? So firstly, we will encounter despair. Secondly, when we encounter despair, we should cry out honestly to God. That's what David does here. Verse 3 and verse 4, look what he says. This is the prayer of David. Look on me and answer, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death. My enemy will say, I've overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. What David does is, when he's encountering despair, he goes to the Lord with it. He cries out to God honestly. And he's very strong here in his words, isn't he? He basically says, answer me, Lord, or I'll die. Answer me, please, or my enemies will win. Now, the words are poetic. The Psalms are songs, and so there's a poetry to it. And they refer to David's specific situation. But again, the sentiment is similar to all of us. We will go through times when we basically say, Lord, please do something because I'm on the edge. I'm not sure how much longer I can keep going. Please, Lord, you must answer me because I'm feeling so low. And I want to say this morning, it's good to cry out to God honestly in this way. I know people sometimes wonder, is it right for Christians to cry out to the Lord in this way? Because doesn't it demonstrate a lack of faith? No, it's being honest. And David does it here, and he gives us that permission. Habakkuk does it, and there are others in the scriptures. I'll mention another one a little bit later. Now, I think sometimes it can cross over into inappropriate anger or fear, but there's nothing wrong at all with crying out honestly to God about where we find ourselves. If you think of a later psalm, Psalm 32, David says a phrase which I've always remembered, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away. You know, it's good to cry out honestly before the Lord. Some of us may struggle in this area. I think younger people are much better at being honest about the things on their heart and head. In fact, younger people sometimes should keep a little bit more inside. You don't have to say everything. But sometimes us who are older find it even harder to express honestly. But you can express honestly with the Lord, and you should. It's good to express it out. It's good to release it in that way before Him. Now, it's not just any old release or crying out. A few years ago, certainly in New Zealand, I don't know about the United States, you'll be able to tell me, there was a psychological technique that became quite popular in the 80s called primal scream theory. Did anyone hear of primal scream theory? I'm seeing a few nods. Anyone do it? No, you don't have to answer that. Anyway, primal scream theory said that if you've got something which is causing you pain or difficulty, then shout it out, scream it out as loudly as you can, and just expressing it in that way will help heal you. And before you think this is nonsense, this was a big deal back then. In fact, there was a band, Tears for Fears, in the 80s. I don't know if you know this, but Tears for Fears had a song called Shout. It was about primal scream theory. If you know the song, it went, shout, shout, let it all out. These are the things I can do without. Come on. That's what the song said. And that's what it did. It was supposed to be. What's the problem with primal scream theory, of course? Well, you can shout out anything you want. Nothing changes. If the thing that's causing you difficulty in life is your boss at work, and on the way to work one morning you pull over in the car and you scream out your boss's name at the top of their voice, your boss is still there when you get to the office. Friends, you and I as Christians don't do primal scream theory. We cry out to the Lord who sits on the throne and is sovereign. We cry out to the God who doesn't just sit on the throne and is in charge of all things, but the one who knows us by name and cares for us deeply. When you and I cry out honestly to him, we cry out to God, and that makes all the difference in the world. Now, his ways are not our ways. We will not always understand what he's doing or what he's allowing, but we are crying out to the Lord, and that makes all the difference in the world. That's so much better than the hopelessness you're left with in this world if there's nowhere to cry out to. Then it is just primal scream theory. Then it is just crying out and words blown away on the wind, not able to achieve anything. But that's not us. David gives us permission in this psalm. Take it to the Lord in prayer. So firstly, we will encounter despair. Secondly, cry out honestly to the Lord. Finally, and very quickly, trust joyfully. Trust joyfully. Have a look at the last two verses. Verse 5. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. Now notice there's three couplets in those two verses. What I mean by that is David says he will do three things. Have a look. He will trust, his heart will rejoice, and he will sing to the Lord. And he will do those three things, the trusting, the heart rejoicing, and the singing to the Lord, because of three things about God: God's unfailing love, the Lord's salvation, and because God has been good to him. Now, before I talk about these things for a moment, does anything strike you as odd here? Does anything strike you as missing here? If it doesn't, then I suggest you've forgotten the last four verses. There is no reason for the positivity in these last two verses. David has started off saying, how long, O Lord? He's clearly saying he's at the edge and he's pleading with God, please answer me, please do something. But no answer has come. And yet in verse 5 and 6, he's trusting, his heart is rejoicing, and he's singing. What makes that change? Why does that change happen between verse 4 and 5? It might make sense if there was a verse 4.5. If there was a verse 4.5 which said, and God answered me and said, not for too much longer, David. Because he's been saying, how long, O Lord? How long, O Lord? And if a verse 4.5 said, not for too much longer, David. If you just wait a bit longer, I'll be with you. If you just wait a little bit longer, David, I will sort out your enemies and defeat them. But it doesn't. There's no answer provided. There's no time frame given. And that's what makes the words of verse 5 and 6 all the more wonderful and incredible. Because in the midst of the despair and the crying out, David still trusts God's saving goodness without explanation, answer, or time frame. How? There's only one answer. He chooses to trust. This is the answer. This is the secret. David chooses to trust even in the midst of despair. That's what it boils down to in the end. It's a mindset thing. He makes a choice to keep trusting God, even though he's in the midst of such difficult circumstances. Now, it's not trust based on nothing. It's based, verse 5 and 6, on God's unfailing love, on his salvation, on all David's own prior experience of the goodness of God. But knowing all that, he then chooses to trust. We sing it in a song. We sang it the other night. He gives and takes away, he gives and takes away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. And friends, the good news is that you and I have even more reason to trust God's unfailing goodness and salvation than even David did. Because we get to look back and look at the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the greatest demonstration of God's love and the greatest assurance of the future. We've got even more reason to trust in the midst of our brokenness than David did. More than that, we've got even more reason to trust because Jesus experienced our first 2 points today. Don't know if you've ever thought about that before, but Jesus, when he became human, experienced despair and cried out honestly to God. Father, if it's possible, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but your will be done. Jesus knew despair. He knew what it was to struggle spiritually and have personal turmoil and feel like his enemies had triumphed. And Jesus knew what it was to cry out honestly to God, my God, my God, why have you forsaken me? But Jesus went through all of that precisely so that one day our despair would be no more. He experienced that, the same thing that you and I do, exactly for the purpose of making sure that one day it will not be the experience of you and I anymore. He went through this to guarantee that our struggles will one day be gone, eternally removed. You and I can see even better than David could the unfailing love of verse 5, the salvation of verse 5, the good the Lord has done for us in verse 6. And I want to encourage you this morning, as I encourage myself, that's why you and I, along with David, can choose to trust. Our hearts can choose to rejoice, and we can choose to sing to the Lord, even in a world where despair still affects us. Spurgeon, who struggled with depression, has got a great line. He wrote about this psalm, Psalm 13, where he says that David started off the psalm sighing, but he finishes the psalm singing. And you and I can do the same. Because David made that change. And he didn't make it because he was just very emotional and one minute he was up and one minute he was down. No. In the midst of despair, he knew who his God was and he chose to trust him in the midst of it. Because of the Lord Jesus, there is an answer to David's question. How long, O Lord? Because of Jesus, the answer is not for always. Not for always. It will come to an end. David clung to his Lord. Knowing that, I pray that you and I will cling to him too. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for your Son. We thank you for the future that guarantees. And I pray that you'd be with any of us at the moment who are really feeling the sense of this psalm. May you too help us trust you, our hearts rejoice, and us be able to sing your praises, even in the midst of difficulty, because of all that your Son's done for us. We pray this in his powerful name. Amen.